God who gives up for others. And we look at what He gave for us. He gave us Jesus. And what Jesus gave up for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And His Son was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus was there in the beginning. All things were made through Him. And what did He give up? He gave up heaven. He gave up the glory of heaven. He gave up the glory of His deity. He gave up power. He gave up authority and allowed Himself to be arrested and brutalized and nailed to a cross. He had it all. He had the world. He made it. All of it belonged to Him. But He didn't have everything. He didn't have you. And so He gave up everything for you. That's grace. And we discovered last week the Sunday school definition of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That all we have in Jesus, eternal life, a place in heaven, all comes at a great price. Jesus paid the price. He gave up everything. Generosity is giving up something for someone else. The King of Siam. And yes, Siam was the name of a place. It's now modern day Thailand. When I was in third grade, I heard about Siam. My teacher had us all say, Awa, Tagu, Siam. Awa, Tagu, Siam. And wanted us to figure out what we were saying. And the first one who realized it raised their hand and said, what a goose I am. But in ancient times, the King of Siam, to overthrow his enemies, would send them a gift. Perhaps this is where the white elephant gift originated. He literally gave a white elephant to his enemies, an albino elephant that was very rare but was considered sacred. And his enemies would literally spend their wealth and their time and their resources caring for this sacred white elephant to the point that they spent all they had. Their wealth was gone. No way to protect themselves, and the king could easily overthrow his enemies. And perhaps Satan has given all of us in this country, we are so wealthy in this country, especially compared to the rest of the world throughout all time. We have great wealth, and perhaps Satan has given us the white elephant of wealth to distract us, to eat our time, to own us, to keep us from our Almighty God. Now, as we consider moving towards freedom, being a generous people, I want to first look at Abraham and Isaac. Now we find this event in Genesis 22, but we're going to move to Matthew 19 in a little bit, so you can open your Bibles to Matthew 19 as we look at another event. But first I want to look at what took place with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. See, Abraham and Sarah were promised to have a son in their old age. And Sarah laughed when she was told she was going to have a child in her old age. But they didn't wait on God. They didn't pass the test initially. They were impatient and they got ahead of God and they created a mess that we still suffer from today. But God still kept His promise. And when Sarah was 90 or 91, she gave birth to Isaac. And Abraham was 100. Now they did live much older during that time. Sarah was 127 when she died. But still, 90, 91 becoming a parent is still an old age to become a parent. She laughed at the thought of being a parent at the age of 90. Abraham, 100. But God fulfilled His promise. But then, as the boy began to grow, God called Abraham and tested him. I want you to offer your only son Isaac on the altar of sacrifice. That which meant more to Abraham than anything else his son. But Abraham was obedient. God, I trust you. I'm going to obey you. And God told him to go to the land of Moriah. I will show you the mountain on which you will offer my son. So he took two servants, a donkey, loaded it with wood, his son Isaac, he had a knife and the fire, and on they went to the land of Moriah, and there God showed him which mountain he was to sacrifice his son. So he left the servants and the donkey, placed the wood upon Isaac. He carried the wood up the mountain. Abraham had the knife and the fire. And Isaac said, Dad, we have the wood for the altar. We have the knife and the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham, maybe he didn't want to tell him yet, said, God will provide. Or perhaps he trusted God would provide. At the top of the mountain, they built the altar. And with, I can just imagine, tears streaming down his face, Abraham said, Isaac, you're the sacrifice that God demanded. And the tears must have streamed down the face of Isaac as well, as his father bound him with rope, placed him up on the altar. Then Abraham took the knife and was about to come down upon his son, the one that God promised. But God stopped him. No, Abraham, stop. Now that I know that you wouldn't even withhold your own son from me, I know that you love me. And he provided a ram in the thicket. You see, God had given an extreme promise through Abraham to provide an extreme gift to the world. And so it required an extreme amount of trust, an extreme test, and he passed. Well, let's say we apply this same test to the rich young man in Matthew 19, beginning with verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Maybe that was the wrong question from the start, thinking there was something he could do to obtain eternal life, to earn eternal life. And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. Well, which ones? Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, Oh, I've done that. I've kept all these. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. What good thing must I do? If we think we're good enough, then we miss the whole point of Jesus sacrificing everything for us. For we'll never be good enough. But are we in trouble? As wealthy as we are, and he says it's harder for a camel. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Are we without hope? Are we in trouble? He says, No. With God, all things are possible. But what did he ask of the rich man? He said, You go and sell all that you have. You see, he listed about 6 commandments, but he didn't list the first one, to put no other gods before me. He understood that he was owned by his possessions. That his possessions, he could see right into his heart, that which he owned, his possessions, became his God. and he couldn't let it go. And he went away sad, and I wonder how long he was sad. Days, weeks, months, years. What if the story was completely different? He said, okay, Jesus, let me go divest all that I have and I'll give it away and I'll come and see you tomorrow. Maybe in the same way with Abraham, when he said, no, it's okay. Now that I know that you wouldn't withhold anything from me, I know that you love me. Now I have to confess, my possessions own me. I discovered that when I tried to clean out my closet the other day. It was hard to get rid of some of those shirts. I have a couple of shirts in my closet still that I bought more than 15 years ago at an outlet store, and I paid $2.50 each for them. One of them I wear fairly often because I like the color. The other one, I don't even like the colors that much, so I don't wear it that often, but it's still there. And trying to clean out, going up and down the attic, getting Christmas stuff out, putting it away. I cleaned out some stuff. But that was hard. I just made a dent. There's still a whole lot more I need to get rid of. Well, let me ask this question. How do I free myself from my stuff? Well, in keeping it simple, there's three simple things. One, give it away. I knew I wouldn't remember these quotes, so I've got them down here. Shane Claiborne, author of The Irresistible Revolution, writes that the more we own, the less we have. Owning more leads to more worries about pursuing and keeping up with our stuff. The more we have, the more we have to work to keep it. This leaves less time for God, for people, and for the virtues of a good life. We had our Sunday morning ladies' Sunday school class. They did a study on unstuffing, getting rid of stuff. And I know there were some of you, I heard stories of carrying bags of clothes out of the house. We've got more unstuffing to do in our house. Well, second, give it away. In case you can't remember these, write them down. Lauren Trojanowski has made it a habit to give things away. We get held down by our possessions. When I give them away, I get a lift, and it reminds me I'm not chained to them. And third, give it away. In his definitive book, Freedom of Simplicity, Richard Foster writes that living with less bring sanity to our compulsive extravagance and peace to our frantic spirit. The only way to free of the things that enslave us is to release them. Jeff and Christy Leland were devastated when they discovered that their 9-month-old child, Michael, needed a bone marrow transplant to live. And they were even more devastated when they realized that their insurance was not going to pay the $200,000 it was going to take for their boy to live, to have that bone marrow transplant. Jeff, he was a teacher, and he taught a physical education class, a class of special needs children of various levels. One of the boys in there, 7th grader, Damien Sharkey, weighed 325 pounds. And as junior hires do, they made fun of him, laughed at him. But he had a condition that caused the weight gain. When he heard of the situation, he went home and he talked to his parents and said he needed to empty his piggy banks. He wanted his money out of his savings account. He took all that he had, just over $60. And his parents allowed him to take it back to the school, and he gave it to his teacher and said, this is for your son, to help him live. And Jeff fell to his knees with tears, just thanking little Damien for his generosity. And that story began to spread through the school and through the community. And in that community, they raised more than $220,000 so their little boy Michael could have his bone marrow transplant. And Michael still lives today. Damien, that seventh grader, 8 years later, died as a massive infection took over his body. But because of his relationship with the Leland family, he discovered Jesus and is spending eternity with Jesus. But his generosity spurred them on to start what is called the Sparrow Club. That spread not only from that school to other schools. And Michael, that little nine-month-old who was the first recipient, is now an adult and a director of one of the regional offices for the Sparrow Club. That has now helped more than 400 children. And it all started with the generosity of a seventh grader. And God has taken the generosity of those who founded Mountain Mission School and other organizations and have given over the years many generous givers. And God has multiplied and is impacting the world. And He wants to do the same through you and me. When we give, we become more like our Creator. We have been created in His image. And He loves it when we let it go and we give it away. And we trust Him today to give, trusting that tomorrow He will provide. And when we give it away today, He wants to pour it right back in tomorrow so we can give again the next day. That's how God works. You give it, I'll provide it. You give it, I'll give you more. You give it away, and I'll provide even more. Oh, that we would discover that freedom that stems from the grace of God and generosity. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your generosity toward us. Our hands are unclean. We have all sinned. But You have made us right at a great price, but You have made us right. Father, there may be one here today who needs to step out and acknowledge, I'm good, but I'm not good enough. I need a Savior. Confessing Jesus as Lord, calling upon Him for salvation, be buried in a watery grave of baptism, raised into new life. Give them the courage to step out. Or perhaps one that needs to recommit their life. They've drifted away. Or maybe a special prayer need that we need to pray about as a church. Give courage for that one or two or three to let go and let You take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing. few prayer items to mention. Helen Topping is at Chippenham Hospital. That's Shirley Gary's sister.